The scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24. And now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
I'd like to extend my appreciation for the opportunity to come and preach a lesson this afternoon, and for each one being here, and the encouragement you are to me and the brethren here. The lesson this afternoon comes from the reading, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, when Joshua said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The application I would like to make of that this afternoon is to fill in the blank for serve the Lord. To ask ourselves, as for me and my house, what will we do? First of all, from the verse, I'd like to suggest that we will serve the Lord. Just like Joshua, we should be committed to serving the Lord through our daily actions, our attendance to services. How we live our lives show our attitude towards our service to the Lord. The psalmist wrote about serving the Lord in Psalm 2 and verse 11. "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Serve the Lord with fear. Does that mean to be afraid? No, it means to respect. And to one way we show our respect to the Lord in our service and our worship service is how we dress. We should be respectful of it, to dress accordingly. In Psalm 100 and verse 2, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing." We're to be glad, we're to be happy when we serve the Lord. Showing up with a frown on our face, with a disrespectful attitude, that is not proper when it comes to serving the Lord. So I ask you, what does your service look like? I suggest that when we're at a service like this, when this is only one way we serve the Lord, through how we live our lives, do we tell others about Christ? To let our light shine every day is our service to the Lord. So as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How about you? Number two, as for me and my house, we will put first things first. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In context, Jesus is talking about not worrying, that we shouldn't have to worry about our food, our clothing, that if we put first things first, these things will be taken care of. We see others out there putting other activities, events before the Lord, but we need to seek first the kingdom of God and let other things fall with it where they may. Let's look at an example in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 57. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. An example here of men who put things first. They thought there were other things more important than following the Lord. And we can be guilty of this today. We can put other activities, other things before the Lord. Let's not be like the two mentioned here. Let's put first things first. The church at Macedonia was said to have first gave themselves to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 5. As individuals, we make up the church, the congregation. And if we want the church for it to be said that we first gave ourselves to the Lord, as an individual, I must be doing that. I must be putting Him first in my life. So as for me and my house, we will put first things first. But number three, as for me and my house, we will be given to hospitality. The Bible speaks a lot about hospitality, about being hospitable. And there are many examples that we can look to. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. So this man not only left all and followed Jesus, but he was given to hospitality. He threw a great feast in his house. In Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. Says, And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Another example of being hospitable. Many were gathered at Mary's house praying. How about opening our homes up to prayer? We can look at Lydia for an example in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Notice that latter part, that she constrained them to come to her house. She didn't just take no for an answer, but she persuaded them. We're commanded as Christians to be given to hospitality in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. It says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. One of the qualifications of an elder is to be given to hospitality in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says, A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality. Also in Titus 1 and verse 8, it is mentioned there as well. We've talked about serving the Lord in our first point, and part of that is to be hospitable. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Or to use hospitality one to another. Some may be discouraged if they're not able to provide a big meal to have everyone into their home. But to fulfill our command to be hospitable doesn't necessarily mean we have to do that. To be hospitable, the word means the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Maybe we can go and visit somebody, visit the sick, visit the elderly. Maybe we can provide a small meal for somebody or take food to somebody. The list could go on and on of small things that we can do to be hospitable. But number four, as for me and my house, we will teach and preach Christ. In Acts chapter 5, we have an example of the apostles teaching and preaching Christ. Acts 5, beginning in verse 40. Says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. These men were commanded not to teach and preach Christ, and they were even beaten. But rather they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer shame, and they ceased not to stop. It is said in Acts chapter 13 and in verse 1 that there were teachers at the church in Antioch. And the church needs teachers, it needs preachers, men who are willing to stand up and teach. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Paul encouraged Timothy to preach the gospel in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Tells him to commit what he has learned to faithful men so that they might be able to teach others also. A big reason we need teachers and preachers is because of the warning given in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, warns us of spiritual immaturity. It says, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. We can apply this to us as children, babies who need milk for a time, but we expect them to mature, to grow, and be able to eat solid food. And as Christians, there may be a time as a new convert that we need simple principles, but we're expected to grow, to learn, to develop. So as for me and my house, we will teach and preach Christ. How about you? Fifthly and finally, as for me and my house, we will promote unity. We will promote unity. We live in a world today that greatly lacks unity. When there's a lack of that, you have chaos, confusion. There's a lack of love. In Mark chapter 3 and in verse 25, it says, and if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And sadly, you will see homes today that are divided, that are against one another because of a lack of unity. In Psalm 133, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. It is a good thing when brethren are in unity. And when we keep first things first, when we use the Bible as our standard, there really is no need for division. There will be no division. In John chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Jesus calls for us to be one. Paul pleaded with the brethren at Corinth to speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 10. And this is only possible if we agree to the same standard and if we live by it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There has always been a great need for unity, and there still is today. So as for me and my house, we will promote unity. I thank you for the kind way that you have paid attention this evening. I hope that this lesson has been of benefit to you in some way. If you've not become a child of God, you can this very hour. You've heard the word, Romans 10:17. Won't you believe it, Mark 16:16. To repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. Then to make the great confession, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," just like the eunuch did in Acts 8 and verse 37. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and in verse 38. But we must remain faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and in verse 10. If you want that crown of life, if you want to go to heaven, you must remain faithful unto death. If you've become a Christian, but you've sinned in thought, in word, or deed, we need to make that right with God. When there was sin in Simon's life, he was told to repent and pray, and he's asked to pray for me. If that is your desire, we can help you with that this evening. If you'd like to obey the gospel, come to the front now as together we just